So.
Exactly. Let them pronounce them for you. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Yep. Is that, that's how you do it? I got you. I got you. So we want to look at 1 Kings chapter 3 this morning, all the way to the end of the chapter. But I want to, we want to back into this lesson this morning instead of the usual way that a lesson is done. We want to back into it this morning. We want to start at the very end. So let's read chapter 3. Verses 16 and following here. Now two women who were haulers came to the king. And everybody's familiar with this story, and everybody loves this story. They love it. And they stood before the king. And one woman said, "Oh my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in that house. And this woman, her son died in the night because she laid on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. The king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought him a sword. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, 'Oh, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of the king. The wisdom of God was in him to administer justice."
What you got? That's wisdom. That is wisdom.
So let's talk about this for a minute. We've heard this story for years and years in our lives, haven't we? What do you think about it? Tell me what you think about this story, and what do you get out of this story? He says that's compassion. What else? Y'all been reading this story for a long time. Let's pull some stuff out of here now. Come on. Give it to me.
I see it as God's fulfillment to Solomon for granting him to wisdom.
Okay, so compassion from the family member, wisdom to Solomon. What else?
Not only that, Solomon, God was amazed at Solomon for what he had asked for. Because nine, most people don't ask for glory.
So here's what I want you to do, because we're back into this. I want you to talk about this incident right here now. This is what we're talking about. I want you to stick right there with me, because I want to see what you think about this. All right? And that's good what you're saying. We're going to get to that. And I want to know what you think about this story right here personally. You've been reading it forever. What is it about this story that sticks out to you, that you remember it for year after year after year? What is it about it? Well, I don't want this child, and let's go ahead on and just divide him then.
Right.
Let's divide him.
But not the other one.
What you think about this story, brother?
No, I always thought the emphasis on that particular story was the
other lady.
All right.
So all through the years, that has been the emphasis, the wisdom of Solomon in deciding who was the right person.
So let me ask you this question. Does wisdom always have to be intelligence? Because we equate wisdom with intelligence. A lot of us do. And you got to separate that, right? Not necessarily intelligence, because intelligence didn't make him decide on who's the mother here, right? There was the compassion of one woman who decided, you know what? I love my son, so let the other woman have him. Now, if you were that other woman, what would you have done? Not only that, she was also evil because she was willing for the child to die. She had zero. She says, go and cut him up. Right, that's exactly right. If I can't have him, then nobody can have him. Wasn't even her son. Right? Now we talking like mothers, right? You ain't gonna smother your child.
So she's not gonna. So
you got to look at her first child.
That has to be some drug taking to for not to know your baby was what?
Yeah. Right. And for her allowing, for her killing a child, then Solomon says, "I'll give you a child." If her heart was one to receive a child, she would have received that child.
From the very beginning. And I'm thinking in my mind sometimes when I look at this that she might not have wanted that child because it might have affected her lifestyle. Remember what her occupation was? She said, look, I can't, look. Mm-mm. Split him up so we can continue our work, right? Listen. Solomon sat on his throne and he established his kingdom. I want you to see what the last verse of this chapter says. All Israel heard of this judgment, just like we've heard of it, right? Which the king rendered, and they feared the king. For they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. They saw the wisdom of God in this king, administering justice throughout his kingdom. His kingdom was established because of God. And God gave him what he needed to continue to rule the people. Now, if we roll back to the beginning, after we look at this story, if we roll back to the beginning, I got a question for you again here. Think about what it is that you have, what it is that you own. Think about what it is that you have, what you own, physically as well as spiritually. Think about that for a second. And if God came to you and gave you the opportunity, and he says, listen, tell me what you want, I'll give you anything that you ask for, I want you to think about what it is that you would ask God for. And we don't have to be this godly because we're in Bible study. Tell me what you would ask God for. Tell me what you, right? If you said right now, all right, you got 2 seconds to tell me.
I'd ask longer life.
Longer life. You want wisdom. What you want?
Assurance of heaven.
Assurance of heaven. But he gave me that already. Right? Through Christ, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure,
what would you ask for, Brother Hanson? Right now, if he says, look, tell me what you want right now.
Physical
huh?
Physical strength.
Sister Brown, what you want?
That my children will be faithful.
Faithful children in Christ. What you want, Brother Vaughn?
Longevity, good health.
You don't want no new wrench?
Huh?
You don't know? Let me ask the visitors let me ask the visitors what they, if God came to you right now, what would you ask him for?
Longevity.
What would you ask him for, Miss Vivian? Wisdom. All right, so we got 2-3 wisdom. We got you want that money? He want that money. What you want, Sister Jackson? All right, you don't want. People think you're crazy right now. What's happening? Sister Bell, what you want, Sister Bell? Okay, all right. We riding the ship here. Good health, right mind, good mind. You know what this is all about? I see you, Sister Anderson. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you want, Sister Anderson. Stop fooling with the glass. Tell me what you want. Whatever you want, you can ask him for it, Sister Jenkins. What you want, Sister Jenkins? Right now. If he asks you. Gotcha. Immediate is what we want, right? Mm-hmm. Sister Collins, what you want, Sister Collins? Isn't that great? So we got all these answers, right?
What would you want? What would you ask for?
Me?
Yeah.
Me? What I want?
I
don't know. And that's strange. I don't know. See, because I was concentrating so much on asking y'all today that I didn't think about what I want. But here's what I want you to see here. What I want you to see. He says, ask whatever you want. All right? Solomon, in this particular instance, he's going to Gibeon, and he's making sacrifices, and they got the high places and everything. So God appears to him in Gibeon. All right? And while he was in Gibeon, he says, listen, Solomon, verse number 5, he said, ask me what you want, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. All right? So Solomon, first of all, he starts praising God for his love. That's the first thing he does. After he praises God for his love, he acknowledges that the Lord has kept his promises to him by making him the son of David on the throne. He did right with his father. His father walked in faithfulness and righteousness. God did right by him. And you promised David that you would put his son on the throne, and you did that, right? And he realizes that God is the one who put him there. He didn't get there on his own, right? God put him there. And he understands that he is reigning in Israel as the king because it is the will of God. And the promise he made, the covenant that he made with David, right? You remember that? It's the second thing he asked for, right? Second thing, verse number 7. He says, you know, I'm a young man right here. Didn't he say that? He said, I'm so young, I don't know if I could do this. I'm too young. I don't know how to lead these people. Humility comes into play right here. He didn't say, well, you know what? I know I'm the king, so let me just go and get with it now. But he says, no. I'm young. I don't even know what I'm doing. But I'm ready for the challenge if you are going to declare me as the king. That's a smart thing to do, right? Humility is always a good thing in our lives, right? He's been given a charge over a great number of people, over God's people, and we need to stop and realize that it's not because of who we are, what we've done, that we've been given charge over God's house as leaders, over God's house as husbands and wives. We need to realize that it's because of God that gave us this particular task that we are in that position, not because of ourselves. Then we go to verse number 9. What number 9 says? He asked for understanding in his heart. That's right. To judge and govern his people. You know, when you go back to the end of the book and you got these two mothers right here, which one had the judgment? Which one had the discernment?
The one that said, you take the child, don't care.
Compassionate. You take the child, and let the child live, all right? You don't have to be smart to have compassion and understanding, right? You just have to understand how to discern between good and evil. And Solomon asked for that. He says, let's discern between good and evil, all right? Let me do that because I'm your servant. I need understanding. I need a mind from God that I can rule these people properly. And I can distinguish between right and wrong. You know what this was the beginning of? I want y'all to see. It's the beginning of a prayer of Solomon. This is a prayer. And what I want to construct for you this morning is the idea of when we go and talk to God, how do we talk to him? Are we always asking him for things? Or are we having a conversation with God? Anytime you have a conversation with somebody else, do you always ask them for things? Or is the conversation a mutual understanding that you're having? Listen. God wants to speak to us, and he wants us to speak to him as well. But every time we go to God, what are we doing? Asking for something. Because you know why we're asking for something? Because we're out of our mind. Listen. Here's the thing right here. What I want you all to know this morning is look at verse 10. What does verse 10 say? Exactly. So when you pray to God, have you ever thought that your request, your prayer to God could be pleasing to him? You ever thought about that? He says the thing that Solomon prayed, God was pleased with that. And our prayer needs to be fashioned in such a way that when we pray, we're praying so that we could please God. Right? In our conversation, in our request, because he says, listen, just right now, whatever you want, whatever you ask for, I'm going to give you. So he put that out there. So you got to ask for some things so he can give them to you, right? But at the same time, we want to engage in a meaningful conversation with God so we can get something out of it, not for somebody else, right? Nah, not for us, but for somebody else, because that's what Solomon was asking for. He says, I don't want no money. He said, I don't want no wealth. I don't want no power. And he didn't pray for health either. You see that? He didn't ask. He said, look, I got the flu. Come on, get it out, man.
Oh, okay. Solomon is king.
He's the king.
Solomon has everything. All authority, 50 years, the king.
Mm-hmm.
And God comes to Solomon. Okay, Solomon, says you got everything you need.
But he hadn't had everything yet.
If I'm a king and I got all authority, I think I got everything I need.
Right.
But God asked.
And he still responded.
I got everything, okay, God. I got everything.
Right.
Give me
this. His prayers did not extend beyond himself. And I want you to think about our prayers. His prayers did not extend beyond himself. And the best prayer that we can possibly make in our lives, this is what I think, the best prayer you can possibly make is not that you would pray for yourself, but that your best prayer would be that others might be what? As a result of what you're doing. It's about looking out after others, because we always pray for other people, and I'm not saying don't pray for yourself, but our best prayer is not what we can get. It's what we can give, right? What we can share. That's our best prayer. And it happens as a result of us needing each other as God's people. We pray for one another. Why do we pray for one another? For what reason? Exactly. And you pray for yourself as well, but we should be praying for ourselves and the fact that we don't extend beyond ourselves. We always look into the other person. Think about what God did. Christ came here and he died. He wasn't looking at himself. He was looking at all of us. And when you prayed that prayer, right? He says, look, me and you are one, and I want everybody else to be one like you and I are one, Father. Let's be one. Let's be one in Christ. Listen, what I'm saying is, our best prayers that we ought to pray for others all the time, and not just ourselves. Solomon, he didn't pray for himself. Solomon prayed that he could be given what was needed so it could be the answer to the needs of other people. How many times are we the answer to the needs of other people? And they're grateful for what you've done, and they come back and they thank you for that. Some folks know how to say thank you, right? Remember them lepers? Remember them? How many they had? How many lepers they had? 10. 90% of them didn't come back. One came back, right? One came back. What were you going to say? You did. She need that prayer, Sister Jackson. God, you know, we need to pray for God to give us the ability to be the answer to someone else's prayer. And that's what Solomon was praying for. He says, listen, let me be the answer to someone else's prayer. Let me be the one that can respond and help them. Not just for me. Not just for me. All right? Huh? Exactly. And you know one thing? God was pleased. I want to emphasize that. God was pleased with his prayer. So we have to stop and sit back for a second and think about when we pray, how we pray, the context of our prayer, the conversation, and when we finished or engaged in the prayer, is God pleased? Because sometimes we have conversations and we just ignore, we hear ourselves talking and we don't even know what we're saying to each other. Because what do we do? We push it off. Or they just talk and they talk all the time. Oh, hey, boy, what is that? What if God felt like that about us? All they're doing is coming to me and just talking. That's all they're doing. They don't have their heart in it. They don't know what they're asking for. They don't have the conversation correct. And I'm going to tell you right now, when men get in front of a congregation and lead a prayer, their heart ought to be right with God, and they ought to know what they're asking God for. Their conversation ought to be to the point to where they're praying not for themselves, they're praying for us so that we can be blessed by their efforts. But too many times people are trained to pray for certain things, routine. Listen, we're having a conversation with God. Listen, if I go to my mom every time and talk to her about my 10-inch bicycle that I didn't get because, you know what I'm saying? Sorry, my 20-inch bicycle I didn't get because she gave me the hand-me-down and gave my brother the new one. If I talk about that every time and nothing else, how would that pan out in my life? I'm still a little salty. I am. But you got to speak to God, you know, in a way that it's going to not only enrich your life, but help other people as well. Because it's not just about us. If it was only about God, where would we be? He says, it's not just about me either. God has so much love for us. Saw first, he saw what might be pleasing to God. It was filled with humility, right? And what I want to say as well, he wasn't selfish about what he asked for. And most of the time when people talk about Solomon, they only think that God only granted him wisdom, but he granted him much more than that. He didn't even ask for wisdom. He says, just give me some discernment. And you know what God said? He says he gave Solomon riches and honor and long life. He didn't ask for that. He didn't ask for that, but he gave it to him anyway because he was pleased with him. And he blessed him far more than he can ever think or imagine. And that can happen to us as well. That can happen to us as well. All right? Solomon asked God for things that we wouldn't usually, we wouldn't back down from. He said, I don't want any wealth. I don't want any power. I don't want any health. If I'm going to be the leader of your people, give me the knowledge and discernment to be able to lead them, that I might be able to help them as your people. And God gave him more than that. Go ahead.
I'm talking here.
It's all right. Yeah, he got a little messy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, he has wisdom. Now, you think you got a lot of wisdom, you ought to stay between them lines. At least I think that's what he, that I would.
You should be wise enough to stand between them lines, right?
Yeah, I know what the thing is. The Bible says that, okay, now, he had all this. He had wealth, he had wisdom, he had the look, he was fine, the feel. He sinned. Then like man is going to sin.
That's right.
See, there was only one perfect being that was Christ.
That's right.
We need to look towards up and towards Christ.
Exactly.
Other than ourselves. We read as people. We read a lot of stuff. We forget a lot of stuff, but still focus on the necessities of eternal life. Sometimes we are too busy focusing on the physical life.
Exactly, and that's what I'm going to say now. He was in the position of king. Right. And he says, listen, I'm kind of young. I'm youthful right now. I don't know how to lead these people. So why did not he ask for what I would have asked for? Health, wealth, and power. Right? That's what we pray for all the time. And the world prays for that. The world don't pray for salvation or to do God's will or to be led by a spirit. But we ought to be praying for that kind of stuff. Our prayer ought to be directed exactly that way. But we structure our prayer in a different way. We can't have a prayer that's selfish and our conversation to God can't be mundane all the time. Let's stop praying the same old prayer. Stop being, you can be repetitious in some things. What are you going to talk to God about eating on a Monday, eating on a Tuesday, eating on a Wednesday, or whatever, cutting grass on a... Listen, when you talk to somebody, your conversation is different every time you meet them. Am I right? We've got to engage in intellectual and common sense conversation with God, because you can be as wise as you want if you don't have no common sense. Even when you're looking at the scripture, you got to have common sense in what you're reading. Got to understand that thing. And it has nothing to do with wisdom. Because wisdom is not all intellectual, because if it was, then he'd been smart enough not to get himself in the pickle he was in. But he wasn't. He wasn't. Because sin and temptation was out there for him, just like it's out there for us. So we pray for others, because when we get ourselves in our pickle, the prayer that we prayed for others, they're going to come and help us be rescued as well. It'll strengthen them. And they're going to come back and do what? Strengthen you. Strengthen you. To help us lead a life in Christ, that is commendable. It's commendable. Solomon got a wonderful blessing. And it's a prayer that he prayed that few people will ever pray. Will ever pray. Because we don't think along those lines. We just don't. We want that health. We want that wealth. We want that power. But we want it for ourselves. We want it for ourselves. He said, bring me a sword, and we're going to deal with this way. So the wisdom of God allowed him to do that. He didn't do that on his own as well. And what I'm saying to you is that if you pray to God, the wisdom that God has for each and every one of us will allow us to do things according to God's will and not on our own. You're going to look back and you're going to say, man, how in the world did that do that? How did that happen? And you won't give yourself any credit. You're going to have the humility. It's like he did. He says, I'm a young, he spent 40 years on the throne. 40 years, right? And all those years on the throne, he had the wisdom, but he didn't have the courage and the faith to stay with God like God asked him to do. God says, if you just do this, if you just do this, if you just do this, if you walk in the ways of your father, if you... And what did he do? From the very beginning, we talked about it last week, what he did, he made a pact with a different nation, right? He married a woman outside of the body, outside of the body. We won't talk about that, right? That's what he did, right? That's what he did. Our prayer ought to be directed to God in such a way that it's not about us. Not about us. And listen, I'm really grateful that people pray for the church. You know why? Because the church is made up of people. And when you pray for the church, you're praying for the people that's in the body, that they might be a better people. Because the world is going to look at us and they're going to see that as well. And if we lifting each other up in prayer, the world can't contend with that. They're going to be confused wondering what's going on. Because we're living in Christ, doing the things that he called us to do, not out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but out of love for our brethren. And that's what he had. He was the king. He could have said, you know what, y'all? I'm the king. I'm going to tell y'all what to do. But he didn't tell them what to do. He asked God what he should do. That's two different things.
I went back.
But did he make the right decision for himself? Did he do that? You know, we ask for a lot of things, right? And once we get them things, man, we kind of cast them to the side sometimes. Because even before he asked for that, the last chapter that we read, he was sacrificing the idols, man. What you doing? You making a pact with Egypt? Don't go back to Egypt. Don't be fooling with them people. And you're marrying Pharaoh's daughter? Why are you doing that? Just because you have wisdom doesn't mean that you're intelligent. I want you to understand that. You're not the smartest tool in the sharpest tool just because you got wisdom, all right?
David and said, man, you got a
got in trouble out there with the world, running with the world. We see the gap between here and heaven as a long way, but tomorrow ain't even promised.
Yep, it's brevity of life. Let me just put this on your mind. Remember at the beginning of the lesson we asked, we said if God came to you and you could ask him for anything, all right, what would you ask him for? The truth of the matter is, God has done for us the exact same thing that he has done for Solomon. Sometimes when we ask God for things, I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seeking you will find. Knocking the door will be opened unto you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you ask, it's going to be given to you? All right? For everyone who asks, this is what he says. This is what Jesus is saying. They receive, right? And the one who seeks, he finds. And the one who knocks, the doors are open. Which one of you, if the son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We're talking about a prayer that is not a selfish prayer, right? Jesus said that. You can ask for anything. Just like God told Solomon, Jesus telling us right now, you can ask for anything. So what you going to ask for? What you going to ask for? James said we should do with the power, we should understand that the power of prayer is right before us. But I don't think we tap into it a whole lot. James says if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Anybody ever asked God for wisdom lately? We ask God for everything else. Solomon says, listen, he didn't even ask for the wisdom and God gave it to him. But here's what God is promising us today. We can have the same thing. And I don't think people realize that. You can have the same wisdom because God is God. He's God then, he's God now. James says, if you lack wisdom, right, ask him for it. Ask him. And he's going to give it to you how? Generously. James chapter 1, 5-8. But then you got to ask in faith and not doubting. The one who doubts like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind, for the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded. He's unstable. You got to be firm in what you're asking for and know that it's according to the will of God, right? Your best prayer ought to be like Solomon's prayer. You can ask for wisdom too. You can ask for it. But you can ask for it to help bless God's people, to be God. And listen, that prayer, First Kings said, would be pleasing to God. Our prayers need to be pleasing to God. Ask for things that please him, and he's going to give it to you. The result's going to be the same. Solomon was granted more than he even asked for. And Jesus told him the same thing, and he's telling us the same thing too. Matthew, everybody know Matthew 6, 31-34. Don't be anxious for nothing, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Health, wealth, and power. The Gentiles seek after those things. The world asks God for those things, right? But your heavenly Father knows what you need when. What's the timeline? Before you need it. He knows already before. He knows what you need before you need it. But you got to seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and then everything else. Not even the things that you're asking for. Solomon didn't ask for these things. He was granted these things because of the fact that he was humble before God. So don't be all excited and ramped up about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Every day got a lot of trouble, right? So we offer prayers that's going to be pleasing to God, because God knows what you need. Now, we got to stop asking prayers beyond ourselves, right? We got to start offering prayers, beyond ourselves. Don't just think about us when you pray. You offer your best prayer to God each and every day and think about it. Listen, if people would think about what they're going to talk about before they start talking about to somebody else, the conversation would be wonderful, don't you think? If we think about what it is that we're going to ask God for before we start praying, boy, it would be wonderful, because he's talking right back. He's giving you the answer. But you got to know what to ask for. You know, I asked for that bicycle. I got one. Like I said, I'm still a little salty because it wasn't, you know what I mean? It's a hand-me-down. I didn't want that. Thought I was getting me a brand new bike for Christmas. But he fixed up the old one my brother had and bought him the new one. What is that? Still salty. I am. Had to go buy my own bike. Isn't that something? Maybe I should ask for something else, Sister Jack. What did you think, huh? Maybe we ought to ask God for something else because sometimes we're not satisfied with what God gives us as well, right? We're not satisfied with those things. Even though we might ask him for it, when you get it, what you going to do with it? Because you asked amiss. You didn't ask according to his will. And that's what we got to do. Solomon's prayer pleased God. And I want to tell you right now, you got to draw a fence. You got to draw a line and start allowing your prayer to be pleasing to God. Stop all this selfishness. When you come into the congregation and you're praying for the congregation, stop asking God for what you want. Let's have a nice conversation with God when we pray to him. And let the congregation pray together with the brother that's leading the prayer. Let's know what we're asking him for and know that we're going to get that. You know, God's been delivering this congregation, let me tell you, over the last couple months, we've been baptizing people, and it's been incredible to me. I mean, we did, 2 weeks in a row? One time, I was ready to get in the water again. I just put my overalls on and came up to the pulpit. You know, it's wonderful what faith can do for you. And we've got to think along those lines and pray that God will give us the wisdom to be able to discern right from wrong and exactly what it is we need. Because he knows what you need. Go ahead, sis.
The scripture reminds us that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we start that actual transformation, that change into a spiritual being. We're going to keep doing worldly things. We're going to keep asking for worldly physical things. We need to ask prayer more along the line of making us a more spiritual person, be more helpful to the church, lend ourselves to service, allow us to drop hard feelings and make up for people we have all against.
What you say, drop what? What you say? What you say, drop what? What you say? You said drop what? Oh, I thought you said hard feelings. Did you say hard feelings? Yeah, I thought you said hard feelings. Huh? You drop any feeling. Certainly. And that's what this is all about. Because see, prayer is a spiritual thing. And too many people approach God without that intent on their mind. We want those physical things. And like I say over and over and over again, there ain't no Cadillacs in heaven, Sister Collins. There's nothing in there. Yeah. Right? They don't make it. Cadillacs don't make it. Beneficial.
But not all things like helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify.
Exactly. So we pray that we might edify others and bring them up from where they are as well, and they can bring us up as well. It's about praying to God for each other as the body of Christ, and bringing each other up. You know, because I'm going to tell you, I didn't know Sister Jackson needed some mind things. I'm going to have to get with her now, you know. I might need that myself. When you get to talking, listen. When you get to talking to people, you really don't know where they are. That's the point I'm trying to make. Solomon didn't know exactly who those people were that he was going to lead, but he knew they were God's people. So it says, give me something that I might be able to help God's people. And that should be our prayer outside of ourselves. And when he gives us the ability to be able to help other people, we can't get no big head and says, oh, look what I've done. No. The wisdom from God will keep us filled with humility, and it'll be a reciprocating thing. What do you say? The right hand wash the what? Hand wash hand. Yeah. I know you got two left hands. That's fine. We do the two left hand thing. We do that. But we need to be able to be a people of God, especially here at this congregation, because I know that we love God, I know the things that we pray for, sometimes we don't pray for those things that that we know that not only do we need, but the congregation needs as well. The people sitting around us need. And let me just say this one thing to you again, because I'm banging this over and over and over again. You can't pray for me if you don't know what I need. And you'll never know what I need unless you get to know me. You got that? Got that? Solomon. Solomon says, listen, give me the ability to lead your people. Give me the ability to please you, God. And that's our prayer. We need the ability to please God, and our prayer needs to be structured in such a way, again, I'll say it again, that our conversation is decent and in order with God. Stop talking to God any kind of way. Stop asking for any and everything. This is a prayer is a spiritual thing, and we are a spiritual people, sanctified, made holy by God. So I want you to think about what it is you're going to ask for the next time you pray to Him and get that in. Anybody got any other comments or questions before we close this out? It's going to be chapter 4. All those princesses, all those names, right? I had y'all to read that last week. I want you to read it again so we can get them names in, Sister Banks. All right? Anybody? Anything? But you got to ask for them. Right. You got to have it in you, though, for it to come out you. And pray for it, God will give it to you. You got to want it. I agree. You got to want it. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to come together today to look at another portion of your word. We ask that our hearts and minds, Father, might truly be open and that we might receive your word, Father, with meekness and humility, that we might structure our lives as we come to you in conversation, as we come to you with requests, and that it might be outside of ourselves, but our prayer, Father, might be structured according to your will, and it might please you that we are seeking, Father, to serve others and not just ourselves. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the church, as you might continue to allow us to grow, Father, spiritually as well as numerically. We thank you, Father, for the visitors that were among us today, and we thank you, Father, for their participation, as their hearts and minds might be open as well, that we might continue to be able to refresh each other and revive each other and renew our spirits in Christ. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.